Today on Real Radio.
You cannot teach others the way of eternal life and salvation and joy and peace when you, the instrument of God, has been tainted and your light's out. And David says, restore to me the joy of my salvation, and then I can tell people how to find God. Is that not simply true? Wow.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, we've been exploring the third commandment, which says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And today, Pastor Jack presents more in this mini-series. We'll be taking our scripture today from Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 5. And here with our lesson today is Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Have you ever told the Lord, I love you, Lord? And then maybe 5 minutes or 5 hours later, you'll say, I love you, Lord. I just love you. It's not like you have to get slapped by somebody to say it. It comes out of you. Remember how I told you I was suffering today in this conference right on the beach? And this morning when the marine layer began to break up, the sun's rays were peeking through and hitting parts of the Pacific. And I looked out the window. I don't know who was talking. It didn't matter. I just looked out the window and I said, God, you're amazing. And at break time, because after all that staring out the window, I needed a break. I went out there and there was an attendant preparing tables for lunchtime out along the beach, and he was all by himself, and I walked out there, and I said, you work in a pretty shabby environment here, sir. His name was Jaime, and I said, you work in a pretty shabby environment, huh? And he looked at it, and he stood next to me, he looked at it, and he goes, isn't it wonderful? I go, it's more than wonderful. I said, it's for this reason and others that I believe in God. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, only our God can do this. And I said, amen, brother. And he said, and he goes, you know what the biggest crime is? And I go, what is it? He goes, it's a crime I commit all the time, especially working here. I go, what is it? He goes, I see this all the time, and I don't thank him enough. And I said, guilty as charged as well. To honor him. To thank him, to praise him, to exalt his name. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Listen, Proverbs 18:10, let your children now memorize that verse. Let them know it now. Parents, teach that to your children. That the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. A child sees that picture in their mind and they can feel that. Make it a game at home. You know how little kids are. Pitch a tent under the coffee table. Put a sheet out there and tell them, listen, because it's so cute. You get a little kid under a sheet, under a table like that, and you're inside there and maybe you have a flashlight. Turn off all the lights in the house. You got a flashlight underneath the kitchen table and the kids get all giggly. Why do they do that? Have you noticed that? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go home and do that. It's amazing. They get all happy and they go, wow. And you see, then listen, Junior, or Miss America, whatever you have at home, the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. Let them memorize that. Let them know that. And they'll love God and they'll honor him. They will know that his name is not a curse word. They will honor him. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, yep, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. There it is, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, that just rules out all basically television, most radio. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You want to know why? When we're honoring God, listen, we take our bodies right now, and we dedicate our bodies to God because, as we studied on Sunday, our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, whatever we put in is going to come out. Whatever we put in comes out. And we all know this. And if garbage is going in, garbage comes out. If great stuff's going in, great stuff's going to come out. When people use certain words, when people have certain attitudes, when people are expressing themselves in a certain way, where did that come from? Somebody will say, excuse my French. Well, that was not French. Stop laying it on the French. That was flesh. Why? Because that's what you've been sowing to. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. When we sow to the flesh, the Bible says, of the flesh we will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. Amen. How we spend our time literally comes out of us in the honor of God, if it's time well spent in the things of God. So it matters how we invest our thoughts, how we invest our time. Very important, honoring him. And so the personal application for us tonight would be this, that if we're going to be honoring him, we're going to be honoring him by name and by his very existence, by what we say, by what we sing, how we think, how we live. You can't separate it, can you? What you sing. My goodness, you guys, just the other day, I was listening to a guy I hadn't heard in years, Graham Kendrick, and somebody knows his music. He wrote a song years ago called Knowing You, and I just bought the album yesterday. It's like 100 years old. It's so good. Check it out. And I clicked on that, and immediately I had to go get alone because, number one, it brought back instant memories of becoming a brand new Christian. And I loved it. And I had to go get alone and turn up the volume because it was in my iPod. Turned up the volume and just, thank you, God. And I got to tell you, I was so grateful to have years of memories just flowing over my heart and my mind. God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. And you might be here tonight saying, well, I can't say that. I don't have that kind of history with Jesus. Not yet you don't. But you can start tonight. You can decide tonight to take your, and forgive me for saying this because I don't know who's big these days, but whatever bands are big. Okay, I know Lady Gaga's big, right? It's time to take Lady Gaga and throw her away. Just throw it away. Say, are you kidding? I paid good money for that. No, yes, you paid good money for a very, very dumb thing. And listen, if you can't sing it, think it, say it, walk it, live it in front of Jesus, you got to get rid of that thing. Okay? And if it's Gaga, if it's, I'm sorry, I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, Queen, Jethro Tull. Throw it out. You know, think about it. You say, man, I can't believe you're saying that. Legalistic. No. Freedom, man. Here's the reason why. The last song you heard in your head is stuck in your head. Thank God it was worship a moment ago, and pretty soon we're going to get back into worship again. And it cleanses you. And you'll honor God by living like that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Listen to what David says. When can I go and meet with God? A great hunger for the Lord. So when we honor him, the Bible tells us, Jesus said it in Revelation 3:8. When we honor God, listen to this. By the way, I'm living for this verse. Revelation 3:8. I'm asking God that I'll get to hear this verse when I'm in heaven. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. Amen. That's the age in which you and I are living in. Lord, I've got a little bit of strength given to me by you. Let me live my life, say what I say, do what I do, sing what I sing, and giving honor to you, and thereby not denying his name. It's very exciting. Revelation 3:12, Jesus said, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, that's coming down from heaven, from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Ooh. I'm not into tattoos, but I will be that day. God's name on us. Imagine that. Point number two tonight is this. Regarding the third commandment, it matters where we take up his name. It matters where we take up his name. We must, church, listen, be witnesses in our private life. We must be witnesses in our private life. You say, Pastor Jack, how can we be a witness in our private life? It takes an eyewitness. It takes others to be there to see. How can we have a witness in our private life? Because listen, you're living for the audience of one person. You're living for the audience of that person. There's one. And he's a person. In fact, you know why you're a person? Because you've been created in the image of God. God is a person. He has personality. Now listen, don't hear me wrong on this. What we are in miniature and certainly sold under sin, God is in totality perfect. You can write a song, can't you? You can write a poem, so can God. You can sing a song, so can God. Remarkable. You can think, you can create, of course. Where do we get that from? Our God. But we are fallen. And we're waiting for that day of redemption. And listen, there's no greater place to find out if you're a true believer in God and the fact that you will honor his name than your private life. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, on the surface, it does matter what your life looks like in public. We'll talk more of that in a moment. But down deep inside, God knows who we are in private. Our husbands or our wives know who we are in private. Our children know who we are in private. And before you're swallowed up with condemnation on that point, you can decide tonight, I am going to honor the Lord and I'm going to live for God in my private life. And I'm going to live a life that matters when I take up his name and where I take up his name. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 regarding our private lives and where we take up his name, it starts there. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, that's very public, obviously. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. And I want to suggest to you tonight that starts in private. I talked to Dr. Hawking last night. We did a program together, and after the program was over, he said something about the years of ministry he's been involved in. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like 59 years of service to Christ. And I said, what could you tell me? With all that you have gone through, highs and lows, what can you tell me? And you know what he said, number one thing, maintain a private life with God. He said, every time I have failed in my life, I can trace it back to not nurturing a private time in my life. That's powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, that's amazing stuff. You need to take that home. Have a private life with God. In the temple, the lamps were burning. They were commanded to burn. And I think that's where you and I light that lamp over and over again in private before the Lord. Because of his name, you and I believe when we fellowship with God and with one another, it keeps that fire burning. And I don't mean to sound too romantic about this whatsoever. I mean it. You and I know people who are all excited about Jesus. I've seen this. I see it happening in this church. I see it happening with believers. especially young ones. Young people, listen. There's an absolute joy about Jesus. You're all fired up and you're all excited and everybody enjoys your light that's shining. And then we don't see you for a couple of weeks or a few months. And then the next time we see you, you look like you're dragging a 50-pound weight and kicking a can and your chin is glued to your chest and we have to say, hey, how you doing? What's up? And listen, I know, we all know how this goes. It's fine. Good. Oh, I've been busy. It's all good. And everyone who's been around for a while knows, man, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for her. They bit the dust somewhere. They crashed. Lord, pour out your grace and draw them back. You know what I'm talking about? A young person, it's a tremendous thing. You can be walking with Jesus no matter what age you are. And you get involved and you sin or you backslide. And listen, the light goes down. Listen, when Eve sinned, her light went out. And instantly, Adam recognized, man, are you naked? And that was not a good thing back then. She looked better with light on than she did in her nakedness. Her glory was gone. The fellowship was gone. Adam recognized it instantly. What happened to you? You look horrible. Her light got blown out. Sin will do that. Didn't David say in Psalm 51, after he got done wrestling with Bathsheba, he gets busted by God and he says, God, forgive me, restore me, right? Restore the joy of my salvation. And then I will teach sinners the way. You cannot teach others the way of eternal life and salvation and joy and peace when you, the instrument of God, has been tainted and your light's out. And David says, restore to me the joy of my salvation, and then I can tell people how to find God. Is that not simply true? Wow. How do you keep strong? How do we be strong? Private life. Matthew 6, verse 6, but you, when you pray, Jesus says, go into your room, and when you have shut the door behind you, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You need to mark that verse. Is your life blessed because that's how you live your life? Listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to enjoy saying it. If you're doing this, and your life is blessed, and your family members or your neighbor doesn't like it, how do I say it? Tough. You want to know why? God blesses obedience right there. He blesses obedience. Just because your neighbor or your family members, they don't want to follow Jesus, that doesn't mean you're supposed to bail on Jesus. Follow him no matter what, and watch, God will bless your life. You say, what do you mean? Am I going to get rich? No, that's not what I'm saying. Your life's going to be blessed. I don't know what that means, but he'll bless your life. Could be health, could be, I don't know what, could be love, friendship, people, I don't know. But understand this, you follow him, you seek him in the secret place, he says, I'll bless you openly. I don't know about you, man, you know what, Lord? Hey, right now, you know what? And here's the fun part, if I'm not seeking you in the secret place, then I'm asking you, Lord, right now to change that in my life, change it. Cause me to seek you in the secret place. I know we get this martyr attitude about, well, I can't ask God to do that for me. I don't know. Look, we need you to be blessed. God wants you blessed. And let him define in your life what blessed is. What does it mean? I don't know. Let him do whatever he does. And then you'll be walking down the street someday and you'll go, my, my, am I blessed. Secondly, under this point, what it matters where we take up his name, not only in private, but in family. We must be witnesses in our family life. Be authentic. Be genuine. We're to maintain a family altar at home. Families tonight, if you don't have an altar, start one tonight. Say, what do you mean? It could be the kitchen table. It could be the coffee table. Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith and his wife, I remember he spoke at this church years ago. He's in heaven now. he told us that he, every day in Switzerland, where he was from, and his kids, they would all pile on their bed every morning. The kids would come automatically onto their bed, and they would have their family devotions in their jammies on the bed every morning. All the kids. Every day. What a great tradition to have. What a great thing to do. Does your home have an altar? And I think it should be awesome. I think it should be something that ministers to the life of a kid. If it's climbing a tree in your backyard, making that the altar where you sit there and talk about God and talk about the perspective of God and how God sees all things from where he's at. Whatever it is, find a place. Build an altar. Calvary, church, family, build an altar. Maybe it is that sheet over the dining room table with a flashlight and a Bible, and you get underneath there and say, let's talk about David cutting Goliath's head off. Great bedtime story. Just sawing through the vertebrae. It's amazing. You know, but share with them. Family altar. Ephesians 5, verse 24. Ephesians 5, 24 says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Say, what? That should be illegal. Wait, next verse. Husbands, love your wives. A lot of men are going to say, that should be illegal. Nope. This is the way God engineered it. It works. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. The greatest thing you can do to raise up kids for Jesus is to love your husband and love your wife. They'll follow. They'll pick up on it. And you know it's working when dad's kissing mom and the kid goes, stop it, you're killing me. Don't do that, don't do that. Let me tell you, they love it. They love it. Sends them a sense of security. And when parents fight and they are eating each other alive, it scares the kid to death inside, scares them. It gets a knot in his stomach. They might get diarrhea or vomiting because they see mom and dad eating each other up. And listen, every time there's a broken home, every time there's a broken home, a child pays the price. I had to pay that attorney $50,000. That was stupid money spent. That was nothing compared to what that kid is paying and will pay for the rest of his life. Because mom and dad wouldn't follow Jesus, the kid pays the price. And children are the victims of a broken home. And I wish I could be some cosmic dictator right now and snap my fingers and nobody could break up their homes anymore. Wouldn't that be great if I could just throw some kind of dust on you and it's like, I can't go anywhere. I got to make this work. Oh, if I could do it, I would do it. That you'd have to make your home work to get a husband and a wife and grab them by the hair and say, kiss and make up. The third thing is the public life under this point. It matters where we take up his name. We must be witnesses in our public life. And that's going to happen, church, if we like it or not. It's just, what kind of witness are we laying down? We shouldn't have to talk up our Christianity. It should scream from our lives, Christian.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that examines the third of the Ten Commandments, which deals with taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. It's actually sort of a mini-series within Pastor Jack's topical collection of studies, which takes a look at all Ten Commandments as found in Exodus chapter 20. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so please be sure to join us. Now remember, you can always go online to realradioactive.org and listen to today's edition of Real Radio as many times as you'd like. Sometimes the second or third time through really makes a difference. You can also hear past programs. You can even subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.